Let's see where we got up to. On Daf Yud Beis, we had a discussion yesterday about the possibility or the impossibility of adding a month of Adar during a year of Ravon, which means a drought year when there's not that much food around. And if we add another month and extend the Iser Chadash for a full month, it's going to impose upon the people who are very hard-pressed, very short of supplies and food. And the last thing that we understood was an analysis of Melachim Beis, Perek Dalid, in the case of Elisha, who was given a gift of 30 kikros lechem that were made of saorim, of Bali, that came from Baal Shalisha, and it would seem that it was a drought year. And the reason we know it's a drought year is because if it would have been a normal year with rains and so forth, they certainly would have prepared a more chashav lechem for the great Navi out of wheat rather than barley. The Gemara is not a big fan of barley bread, I guess. And not only that, it seems that there's one place on the face of the Israeli map which is really fertile and grows produce, and that's Baal Shalisha. That, you know, if you have to pinpoint one place on the entire map of Israel where there should have been a lot of grains growing, it would have been Baal Shalisha. And nevertheless, they couldn't find chitin, they couldn't find wheat, because the pasuk says they brought lechem siorim. That's a surprise. I thought you were out there in the gush. Okay. So the Gemara says that if there was no Siorim, then it must have been a situation of a drought year. And what happens over here? The case is that it must be after the Omer was brought, because Elisha tells the people, Tain la'am v'yochelu, you know, divvy up these 30 breads, or how many breads were there, 20 breads, and let the people consume them at any pay. It must be after the Omer. And Re'uya osa shana l'saber. So it would have been a great year for Ibur, because it would seem that there was no grains that were fully ripened. You know, they grabbed a couple of siorin, maybe it was a carryover from earlier months, and that's what they did. So there are two factors here. Number one, it's a drought year, and obviously that's why they were really hard pressed for coming up with lechem. So they gathered together these 20 loaves of bread as a gift for the Navi, and yet it was a situation where most of the grains had not yet ripened in the fields, and it's already after the Omer. So we're talking in Chodesh Nisan. It would have been a perfect case to delay the Omer by a month by adding an extra month of Adar. But Elisha didn't do so. And why didn't he do so? Because it was a Shnas Re'avon. It was a year in which they were very desperate for food. And to impose upon them another month's worth of Iser Chadash, in which they would have to enjoin themselves from eating that bread, that would be too much of an imposition. So that although all the factors that would be necessary, all the conditions necessary for Ibur Shana were met, nevertheless he omitted Ibur Shana because of the other consideration of people needing to eat the meager volumes of supplies of food that they had. So that's what we did yesterday. Today, we're starting with Tanur Rabbanan. Let's see if we can all find the place on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And you'll see a Tosus Dibra Maschil. Let's see, just one second. Where is this? give me a second here. It should say Ein Ma'amres Hashanah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. It's about 15 lines down from the top. How many lines? 12 lines down from the top. Do you see the first word in the line is Hagranot?
Mm-hmm.
If you see that, so then it says Tana Rabbanan. Ein Ma'amres Hashanah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the Brisa wants to address the following question: how long in advance will Beis Din issue that decision that because of the various factors we need to be Ma'abra the Shana? So you might say, well, as soon as Beis Din made that decision, as soon as they did the Chishuv means they made the calculations, they realized that the Tkufa is off base, they realized that they're not going to have enough ripened grains or fruits. They already can anticipate that they need an Ibur Shana, but the problem is that if they notify the people of Ibur Shana too far in advance, they didn't have published calendars in those days, so it could be that by the time Pesach rolls around, there'll be some confusion. People might have forgotten that it was already declared as a Shana Muberes with an extra Adar. If they make that mistake, what's going to happen is they're going to celebrate Pesach 1 month early. Now, what's so terrible? I mean, that, you know, maybe it's a bracha levatola issue because they'll make a bracha on matzah when it's not really matzah. But the real issue is that when Pesach comes a month later, they're eating what? They're eating chametz because they thought that they observed the Pesach the week before, the month before. They didn't realize that it was the Shana Muberes. So we can't send out the word too far in advance. And therefore, the cutoff point is going to be Rosh Hashanah. The people are going to be eager to know about Rosh Hashanah time, you know, how to set up their schedule, their calendar for the year to come. But before Rosh Hashanah, if you tell them that the year afterwards is going to be Hashanah Muberes, you know, it goes through one year, comes out the other. They might not be aware of it. They may not remember it when it comes time for Pesach. As a result, they may end up eating chametz on Pesach. So that's the way Rashi learns this sugya. Okay. However, what happens in a b'dieved situation? Im ibruha, for whatever reason, Beis Din went ahead and they were ma'abra the shana before Rosh Hashanah, which is too far in advance. So on the one hand, the Braisa says einam uberes. This is not considered a valid Maisa Beis Din, and their declaration that it's a Shana Muberes is invalid. But then the Braisa sort of retracts that statement, or shall I say, it softens its position, and says the following exception to the rule. Avol mipnei adchak. For some reason, Beis Din is afraid that if they wait too long, post Rosh Hashanah, they will not be able to be Ma'abra the Shana. Maybe they're afraid of the Malchus, maybe they're afraid that they won't be able to get together enough Dayanim Mumchim, we need Smuchim. So they're in a real precious situation. On the one hand, they've gotten together the Beis Din that has the authority to determine that the Shana deserves and should be Muberes. On the other hand, it's before Rosh Hashanah, and they're afraid that after Rosh Hashanah they won't be able to gather together the Beis Din and make that public declaration of Ibur Shana. So that's called Mipnei Adchak. Is then how much of a leeway are we going to give you? Ma'abra Mosa Achar Rosh Hashanah Miyat. We'll allow the Beis Din to rule on the year and establish the year as a Shana Muberes immediately after Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah remains the cutoff point. But here, instead of telling you and instructing the Beis Din to wait a little bit longer so that people are already organizing the program for this new year, immediately after Rosh Hashanah, they're able to do it. Why? Because it's a Shas Adchak situation. So he writes here that mipashtus loshan haGemara mashma di afilu b'shas adchak ein ma'abrim el yachar Rosh Hashanah. That no matter what, there's an absolute rule that the minimum of the earliest time is after Rosh Hashanah, not before. And that's how the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. But he says, if you read Rashi, Divra Maschel Avo, which is about in the middle of the page here, you'll see that Rashi seems to assume that the Shasat Chak, you could be Ma'abra the Shana before Rosh Hashanah. However, you don't notify the people until after Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, Rashi is separating between the decision and the ruling to be Ma'abra the Shana, which is handed down even before Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to the notification and the publicity, that has to wait until after Rosh Hashanah. So the people will hear the message after Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but the reason for not doing it before Rosh Hashanah is people might forget by Pesach. So how does that change because of 2-3 days later?
Because once is Rosh Hashanah, they publish the New Year's calendar. And don't take me literally, but if you follow what I mean, people are ready, after Rosh Hashanah, they want to know what kind of year is this year. They're in this year, and they have to know if this year is a regular year or it's a Shana Mubar. So that they can hold on. But if you tell them before the year, they won't remember. So that's where they put the cutoff point. The cutoff point is we have to enter into the new year. The Afal Pichein, a Ma'abrim Ela Adar. The maximum, or shall I say, the only flexibility in terms of the months of the year for adding a month is only the month of Adar. We can make a second Adar. But we cannot take a month somewhere else, another month, and duplicate that month and add another month of Teves or Shvat or any of the other months. Even though, again, that would cut down the fear of the people mistakenly thinking that it's a regular year when it was really determined to be a Chodesh Mubar, because it's closer to the announcement post Rosh Hashanah. But nevertheless, the halacha is that you could only be Ma'abra the Shana by adding an extra month of Adar. The Gemara doesn't explain why. So here we have Rashi and Tosfos. The Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, L'chodesh Ne'masar Hu Chodesh Adar, which means that the 12th month of the year, because Nisan is the first month of the new year, is Adar. And if Bezdin would be Ma'abra any other month and another month other than Adar, it would turn out that Adar is not going to be the 12th month of the year, but rather the 13th month of the year. And that you'll see in Tosfos Divrei Maschil, Ein Ma'abrim Ela Adar. You see where he quotes, that's the third Tosfos on the page, he quotes the parasha in Megillas Esther. However, there's a Rashi not here, but a Masechta Rosh Hashanah who gives another reason as to why Adar is the only candidate for Ibur to duplicate Adar. And that's because the Torah, in the source for Ibur Shana, says, Shamar Es Chodesh Ha'Aviv, which means that in order to make sure that the month of Nisan, month of Nisan overlaps with Aviv, what word am I looking for?
It coincides.
Okay, there's another word. That it coincides with Aviv.
Overlaps
with Aviv. Okay, that I had already. Okay, so then we have to add a month. So the month should be added right before that month that needs the Ibur. The month that needs an Ibur is going to be Nisan. And right before Nisan, that's when we should be Ma'arba the Shana. So that's Rashi and Tosfos. But now I want to present to you a third Shita as to why it's only Adar. Hatamu Mipnesha Midamim Ibur Shana Ibur HaChodesh. Right, in the case of Ibur HaChodesh, what we do is we add a day to the month. Correct? The month should have been a 29-day month. And if we ma'abra the month, we make it into a mole, we add day 30. So where do we add that day? What's unique about adding day 30? If you had to define it. It's the last day of the month. Nobody followed that? So that's going to be the source for the last month of the year. So there's a concept called Ibur HaChodesh, which means the last day of the month. And there's a concept called Ibur HaShana, which means the last month of the year. What is the last month of the year? That's Adar. So at the end of the year, we can add an extra Adar. Just like at the end of the month, we can add an extra day to the month. Then he quotes the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that Me'achar ve'ibra Hashanah toli bi'aviv u'beperas ha'ilon, b'rov Hashanim, if you want to take a determination as to whether the fruits and the grains have ripened or not ripened, in most cases, ein noda, it's not clear, ela b'chodesh Adar. Now it's after we get to Adar, and now the rains have fallen and the sun is beginning to come out, you know, it's the beginning of the spring almost, then we can decide whether or not, when we go out to the crops, whether or not we have a justification for Ibur. So again, just to summarize, we have four explanations why Adar is the only candidate for Ibur. One is based, as Tosis quotes the Parsha in Esther, that Chodesh Adar has to be the 12th month. Then we have Rashi, not here, but in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, who says that you could only be Ma'abra the year which, at the time of Chodesh Ha'aviv, right before Chodesh Ha'aviv, because that's the license for Ibur Shana, is Chodesh Ha'aviv. And then we have the third explanation, because of the equation between Ibur Shana and Ibur Chodesh, just like in Ibur Chodesh, it's the last day of the month, so too in Ibur Shana, it's the last month of the year. And finally, the Yad Ramah says that the easiest time to determine whether or not we have the simonim for that justify Yibra Chodesh is going to be Chodesh Adar. That's when we can check out the agricultural situation and make that determination. Eini, the Gemara says, is this really so? Meaning, is it really true that there's no such thing as Yibra Shana before Rosh Hashanah? Vasholchu le'rava. Okay, now we have a very long text of a document that was written by a scribe, and was Rava. Rava was the one who had this document written. And what we're going to see here is that Rava is going to have a document sent out to Bnei Yisrael, written in a code form, in a secret form. He's trying to avoid Rishayim, which I would call in English self-hating Jews, who will tattletale to the Malchus and say that the Jewish people are determining, you know, their new year and so forth without due authority, and that's an act of rebellion against the kingship. So he's going to codify this document. And this is what the document says. Again, most of this is in a combination of Hebrew and Aramaic. So he says the following. Zug bami rekes. Now rekes, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah and also in Gittin, is a synonym for Tveria. The city in the north called Tveria is also called Rekes. And the Gemara Megillah explains that why was Tveria nicknamed Rekes? Because Rekonim Sheba Maleim Mitzvos Kerimon, that Tveria was a very pious community. And the word Rekes really indicates we'll call it a rank and file citizen, and somebody who's not a great scholar is called a Rekes. And yet, even the Rekes Jews were so full of mitzvos, that was the city of Tveria. Others say that really the name of the city was Rekes, and Tveria was a pseudo-name for the city, and the word Tveria means Tibura. Tibura means like in the middle of something, like the tabar, you know, the belly button. And Tveria is located in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. It's towards the north, but it's not all the way up in the north. And others say that Tveria means Tova Re'iyasa, that if you see Tveria, it's a beautiful city, and it's surrounded by Pardesim and Ginos and so forth. But in any event, the word Rekes here means Tveria.
Tveria is named after Roman Emperor.
So I'm not a historian, I can only tell you what I have in front of me, Reuven. You'll do the history, and you'll come to some conclusion as to whether you want to rely on Chazal or you want to rely on the historians. That's up to you. Okay. And all this you'll check out in the Gemara Megillah Daf Vav Haman Aleph, what is the name Teveria mean? Again, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, the name Teveria means Yosheves B'Tibura, Shel Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabba, Teveria means Tova Re'iyasa, and so forth. Okay, so two scholars come from Teveria, Usfaso Nesher. Now Nesher, which is an eagle, is a code word for Paras, okay, the Persian Empire. And Tfaso means they were grabbed, they were jailed. So these two Talmidei Chachamim that came from Tveria were jailed by the Parsiim. And the source for the word Nesher as a code for Parsiim is Daniel. As you know, Daniel is written in heavy Aramaic, but occasionally Daniel uses a Hebrew word. And in this case, he uses the word Nesher. And that word Nesher in Daniel Perek Zayin is used for, as an acronym for Paras. Okay. Now, there's also a pasuk in Yechezkel that says HaNesher HaGadol, right, the great... How do you translate Nesher? Is it an eagle?
Vulture.
A vulture, oh, okay.
Which makes it even more analogous.
Powerful, yeah. So he says the following, that B'yadam, the scholars were holding in their hands Dvarim HaNasim, again, this is a different Gersos, HaNasim B'Luz. So there was something that took place in Luz, and they were holding on to some, perhaps, document that would testify as to what went on in the city of Luz. Now, what went on in the city of Luz? Why is Luz a special city that's singled out here in this story of Rava? So Rashi, Dibra Maskil, Dvarim, points out that Luz was a place, apparently on the seashore, Shetsovim Bat Cheles. That's where they dyed the tzitzis, the chutei tzitzis, in the color of tcheles, which was a dye that they took from the chilazon. Okay, umay ninu, and what were these things that were done, that were manufactured in Luz? Tcheles for tzitzis. So that went on in the city of Luz. And then Rava writes, "Bischus rachamim u bischusam yatzu b'shalom." God had divine compassion, and in the merit of these two scholars, yatzu b'shalom, they were able to somehow free themselves from the soldiers of the kingship of Paras. Okay, fine. Now, what we're interested in is the second part of this document. And it says the following. Va'amuse yereche nachshon. Again, all this is written in code form. And the yereche, which literally means the thigh, but in symbolic representation, it means the children, right, the offspring of Nachshon. So we're talking about Zerah Nachshon. Now Nachshon, if you remember, was the first of the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael. So when this document speaks about the offspring of Nachshon, then it's referring to a Nasi. The Nasi in Eretz Yisrael is always Mizerah Nachshon, because he was the first of the Nesiim. Bikshu l'kva nitziv echad. Now the word nitziv here is a code word for a month. And we're going to have to figure out why the word nitziv, which means a pillar, is used as a code word for a month, as if to say there are 12 pillars which represent the 12 months of the year. L'kva means to set up. Nitziv echad. The word echad here means an additional one. Not echad means, usually it means one, but here you're being koveh. If you're being koveh something, it can't be a month of the 12 months of the year. We don't need a Nasi who comes from Nachshon and Aminadav to set up a month if it's one of the 12 months. So it must mean that Echad here means an additional month, which means that basically the Nasi wants to be Ma'abra the Shana. And all this is hidden clandestinely in this phrase of Bikshu Likvah Nitziv Echad. Velohi Nicham Adomi Halaz. Okay, now we have another kingship. Forget about Paras now. We have trouble from Edom. Edom, which are the descendants, who are the descendants of Esav, the Bnei Badav Shal Esav. They were the adversaries of the Jewish people. And only Hashem knows why he allowed Yitzchak to bless Esav al Charbacha Tichye, hence the last 2,000 years of Jewish history. But in any event, that's what God made that decision. So al Charbacha Tichye. So this is the main adversary in the last of the four Golios that is going to, and it's very appropriate we speak about that now, Erev Tisha B'Av, because that's exactly what Tisha B'Av is all about. It's all about the Romans, who are the Edomites, who are the descendants of Esav, the primary adversaries of the Jewish people who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, it's interesting because Chazal said in the Medrash that Yitzchak Avinu tried to plead a case for Esav in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, maybe God, you can have compassion on Esav and give him a better bracha than just al Charbacha Tichye. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was, I don't have any compassion on Esav because the Bnei Badav Shel Esav will destroy my Mikdash. In any event, during this period of time of Malchus Edom, we have what's called Shmad. And Shmad means that the Malchus issues a decree that prohibits any sort of observance, correct. In this case, to determine that the year is a Shana Muberes, which requires a Bezdin, that is considered a violation of Shmad, of the laws and the decrees that were instituted against the Jewish religion by, in this case, the Edomites, by Edom. And that's why Rav had to couch this whole thing in a secretive kind of way. Avol Balei Asufos, those who gather together, which means the scholars who either gather together to study Torah, or in the case of a Bezdin, they gather together in order to issue a decree about the year that it's a Shana Muberes. And this is all based on a pasuk in Koheles, Divrei Chachamim Kidarbanus. And the end of the pasuk says about Divrei Chachamim Ukimishmaros Netuim Balei Asufos. So the Chachamim are called Balei Asufos. That you'll see here in Rabbeinu Chananel. Nesvu v'kavulo nitziv echad. That even though this was a violation of the gzera of the Malchus Edom, nevertheless they went ahead. And the Balei Asufos agreed to the decision of the Nasi, and in an assembly, they decided to be Ma'abra the Shana. And when did this take place? B'yerach Shemesbo Aron HaKohen. The only, as you all know, the only anniversary of anyone's death that's recorded in the Torah is that of Aaron. And the Torah tells us exactly when Aaron died, and that was when? Rosh Chodesh Av. So on Rosh Chodesh Av, Av is a very sad month, partially because of the death of Aaron, and maybe because the Jews didn't live up to the legacy of Aaron, of Odev Shalom or Odev Shalom. That's why Tammuz is a very sad month. But that's not relevant to us. What's relevant to us is that what was the month in which the children, meaning the Nasi from the children of Nachshon Ben Aminadab, when did they issue the ruling of being Ma'abra the Shana? It was the month of what? Tammuz. So how could it be, I'm sorry, I meant to say Av, you're right. How could it be that before Rosh Hashanah, they were Ba'abra the Shana? This contradicts everything that we've been assuming until now. Now, it could be that this document proves what we said before, that if it's a Shasat Chak situation like this, where there was Gzeirah Shmad of the Malchus Romi, then Bezdin is licensed to be Ma'arav Lashon even before Rosh Hashanah. Because this actually happened in the month of Av, way before Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara says, no, you don't have to say so. You can interpret this document in a way that it's reconciled with the assumption that there's no Iber Shana before Rosh Hashanah. You can't prove from this document that there's a possibility B'Shas Adchak of being Ma'arav Hashanah before Rosh Hashanah. In fact, we said that the earliest date, even B'Shas Adchak, is after Rosh Hashanah, Miyad. But the answer is Chashuvei Mechshuvei Giluyei Lo Megalu. Do you remember the distinction that we had before that Rashi had made between issuing a ruling, a decision of a Beis Din that would be Ma'arav Hashanah, and publicizing that decision? So that even though there was a document which testified to the fact that there was an Iber Shudder that was enacted and was decided in the month of Av, nevertheless they didn't publicize that. This was a private document, and the publicity didn't actually happen until right after Rosh Hashanah, so that the people would not forget about the Iber Shudder. Now, the Gemara goes off on a tangent here and wants to know, why is it that in this document Rava chooses the word Netziv to refer to a month? My mashma d'hai Netziv lishna d'yarchahu. How is it that the word Netziv indicates a month? And the Gemara answers, Netziv, a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, it says, Ulishlomo shneimasar Netzivim al kol Yisrael v'chilkelu es ha-melech v'es beso chodesh bashana. In other words, King Shlomo had 12 individuals who were appointed, each one respectively over a month. And each one had his month that was designated for him. And during that month, he would roam around, he would travel around a certain territory of Eretz Yisrael, and he would collect from them whatever monies were necessary for that month to support the Malchus, to support the king and his entire household for that month. So those were the 12 Netzivim. Now, literally, the 12 Netzivim are the human beings that are overseeing this whole collection process. But it means that each one of them was given a month. Hence, we see that the word Netziv means the Netziv over a month. And therefore, they were able to use the word Netziv as a code word for a month. So the Gemara is not happy with this, because on the one hand, the pasuk indicates that Shlomo HaMelech had Shneimasar Netzivim, but on the other hand, in the same chapter, just a few psukim later, if you fast forward about 7 psukim, you'll see it says Unetziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz, that there was one Netziv, and he apparently was in charge of this entire process. So how can you tell me that the 12 Netzivim were each respectively in charge of the enterprise of collection for that month, when the Torah, when the Tanakh says explicitly that there was one Netziv in the land? What's going on over here? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman have two interpretations, two reconciliations. Chad Omer, one says that when it says Netziv Echad, it's referring to the Mamun al Akol. Al-Kula. There had to be one chief supervisor who would make sure that all the other 12 officers would implement what they had to do. They would live up to their responsibility. So he would guide them and he would supervise them. V'chad Amar, and another way of reconciling is that Kineged Chodesh HaIbur, that the reason why the Tanakh adds another Netziv is because there's not 12 months of the year, but there are 13 months of the year. That means on a leap year. So it's very appropriate that in Rava's document, the Netziv Echad, which is a reference to this pasuk in Malachim, and Netziv Echad Ba'aretz, Hashem Ba'aretz, is a reference to the month of Adar Sheni in the case of Iber Shana. So the only thing that we have left here is, I think we pretty much covered it. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbana, another brisa. All these brises start with the following words: Ein me'arvim es hashana, lo mishana lechaverta. In other words, let's say we know now, before Rosh Hashanah, that next year we need an Iber Shana. So Beis Din knows already up front that next year needs an Ibur. Can they be Ma'abar the Shana on during the course of this year for next year? In other words, not that this year is going to be an extra door, but next year will have an extra door. So that's the principle here formulated by this brisa, that from one year to the next, we don't implement Ibur Shana. This is the way Rashi learns. But take a look at Tosis, Diva Maschil. Which one is it?
Low.
Right, Diva Maschil Low. Pirish Bekuntris, Shana Zu, Eino Tzvichos Aber, Eima Abrim, if this year doesn't need Ibur, then we're not going to be Ma'abur next year during this year. But says Tosus, Ein Aloshon Mashmaken, that the language of the Braisa doesn't indicate Rashi's Pshat. In other words, according to Tosus, if Rashi was correct, then it would have said the following, Ein Ma'abrim Shona Zu, Litzorech chaverta, for the purpose of next year. Just one second. I had this before. Let me say, Ein ma'abes hashana lo mishana lechaverta. Beis Din knows now that they're going to need to be ma'aber next year. I'm sorry, just one correction here. Rashi is learning, I gave you already Tosis Pshat. Rashi is learning the following, that we need an extra Adar. Why do we need an extra Adar for next year? So why not add an extra month this year, and that will apparently solve the problem of next year? And the answer is, according to Rashi's Pshat in this price, that every year has to be separated as a unit unto itself. So that if this year doesn't need Ibur, and you just want to add an extra month this year in order to solve next year's problem, you can't do that, because it's only within the year, that year that needs the Ibur, that you could be Ma'abar the Shana. And Tosa says, no, I object. If that would have been the Pshat, then it should have said, Ein Ma'abar Shana Zu Litzorech Haverta, for the benefit of next year. Therefore, Tosa interprets it differently. Elanira Demairi Lechashe. That Tosa says, we're not talking in this Braisa about Ma'abrim. He's going to be very liberal about this, the language of the Braisa, even though he himself objected to Rashi because of the language of the Braisa. It's very odd. But the word ma'abrim means lechashev. Lechashev means to make the calculations and consider all the considerations. So it means the following, that even if you're not going to determine and publicize the Ibur Shana until next year, you don't sit this year to make a cheshbon for next year. So before Rosh Hashanah, that's not the appropriate time to make the calculations and the determinations that next year after Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have to add another month of Adar. Why? Because ein lismoch al cheshbon zeh, any cheshbon that you make and you calculate before the year is premature. Now it could be, Don, that we're not talking here about a physical reality, as you would say, what's the difference between one day and the next? But rather, we're talking about a halachic reality, that the halacha is that not only does the Ibur Shana have to take place within the year, which we determined already in the previous brisa, but even the chishuv has to take place within the year, meaning the entire process. You might have said, well, all the calculations we can make in the previous year, and the actual determination and the Pesach Bezda declaration will be postponed until next year. No. Even the chishuv, the way Tosus learns, it has to be done within the year of Ibur itself, means that the Chishuv and the Ibur are one indivisible process, and we can't split them into half.
But we learned it that way earlier today. They did the Chishuv before, but they didn't announce it till after.
Right, but that was only a Shasat Chak. Now we're talking about a case that's not. We'll get back to Shasat Chak in a minute with Rabbi Akiva, but right now we're not talking about a Shasat Chak. Next, what else is excluded? Velo Shalosh Shanim Zo Achar Zo. The maximum number of years of Ibur, of Mubaros, can only be 2 consecutive years. Not more than 2 consecutive years. You cannot add a 3rd consecutive year. So, for example, we have what's called Tkufa. Let's say that 1 year requires Ibur because of Tkufa, right? We discussed this at great length, that there's some sort of discrepancy between the solar calendar and its seasons and the lunar calendar. So we've already determined that on one particular year we have that discrepancy, we have that Tkufa, and then we find out that the following year is going to have a problem of Aviv and Peros HaIlon. In other words, that there's not enough rains and there won't be a quick produce of the grains and the fruits. So we now have a situation in which there are 3 years consecutive which require Ibur. One because of this reason, another because of the other reasons. And yet, despite the fact that we are really justified in being ma'aber 3 consecutive years, we're not allowed to do so. Now, what's the problem? Why do we have to object to 3 consecutive years of Ibur? And apparently the answer is that what you're going to do is you're going to ultimately be pushing Pesach 3 years in a row. There's an accumulation of 3 years of delay of Pesach. In each one, we're going to delay it by a month. So by the time we get to the 3rd Ibur, Pesach is going to fall out in the summer months. Now, we said before that Pesach has to fall out B'chodesh HaAviv, in the spring. So what difference does it make if Pesach will be delayed until the summer? But the answer is that there are different tkufas. There's a tkufa of Aviv, and then there's a tkufa of Kayetz, what we call the summer months. So again, the Gemara is working with the following premise: if you'd have 3 consecutive years of Ibur, then at the end, Nisan is going to be pushed to such an extent that it'll be during the summer. In other words, we usually have Pesach around what? The end of March or the middle of April, somewhere in that period of time. But eventually it's going to come out that Pesach is in the month of May or June even. And that's not the appropriate time for Pesach. Again, all this depends upon the sugya on Daf Yud Gimel, which we didn't get up to, exactly what is the relationship between Pesach and the Tkufa. But it's got to be at the early part of this Tkufa, not deep in the summer.
Question:
Let's use the Hebrew. I'll tell you why. Because until Hebrew, I learn that English intercalate word, it's going to take me at least a month of Adar.
So you can't do the Ibur, right? With 3 years in advance, or
no, 3 years in a row.
3 years in a row.
Right. So
each year you're doing it.
Correct. Each year we ma'aber. Now we get to the 3rd year. We see, lo and behold, we need Ibur.
So
and you would normally think that let's be ma'aber, but you already were ma'aber the two previous months as a result of the Ibur of the 3rd year, the two previous years, as a result of an Ibur 3 times around, Nisan is going to turn out to be in the summer months.
So maybe this will be answered later on, but if you're already in the 3rd year and Pesach already is late because 2 years in a row you added the month, I mean, then what's the reason for extending it at that point? There has to be a reason other than Pesach. With the harvesting.
I'm not sure if I understand what you're saying. We're talking about a case where in the 3rd year, because there weren't that many rains that year, we see that the crops are not growing. There's simply not enough rain. So we're really justified in adding another month of Adar to make sure that the crops are growing.
Maybe I just don't understand agriculture enough to
but that's the mitzvahs.
Yeah,
but yeah. By adding a 3rd month, you can end up with Pesach delayed to the summer months.
Okay.
And now the Gemara is not happy with this. Why? Because Om Rabbi Shimon, Maisav Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see that, and this is going to be a big machlokas, Rishonim had to interpret this, but again, according to one approach to the Rishonim, Rabbi Akiva was ma'aber 3 years consecutively. Where was Rabbi Akiva? He was in jail. And it was very short before they took him out to die. They put him to death. And it's possible that this story that's being recorded is first hand information from Shimon, because there were very few Jews that were allowed. They gave him an allowance to visit Rabbi Akiva. It could be that Rabbi Shimon was one of them. In any event, Maisa of Rabbi Akiva, Shal Yechovish Beis Hasuv, is locked up in jail. Ve'iber Shalosh Shanim Zu Achar Zu. And in fact, he was Ma'aber 3 years consecutively.
He could do that from jail for everybody?
What happened was, the Chachamim, let's say, I don't know which Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon may have been one of them, they got to visit Rabbi Akiva, they sat down with Rabbi Akiva, and they gave him all the facts on the ground, and based on his decision, they were able to be Ma'abra the Shana. Now, Jerry, I understand you're raising a very important question. Who actually was Ma'abra the Shana? Rabbi Akiva is one individual, so... Well, everything will come in its time. I can't give it all at the same time, because you know then I won't have a shiur. So it comes out like this: that the way Rabbi Shimon understood and record and transmitted this ma'isa, Rabbi Akiva actually was ma'aber 3 years consecutively. So how could he have done so when we just finished? We just finished learning the Brisa that says Lo Shal Shalom Zu Achar Zu. Now we have to learn the end of the Brisa. Amru Lo. The Chachamim turned to Rabbi Shimon, who quoted this historical case as a disproof, as a kasha against Lo Shal Shalom Zu Achar Zu. And the Chachamim say, Misham Raya, what proof do you have from Rabbi Akiva? In the case of Rabbi Akiva, Bezdin Yoshvu Vekavu Achas Achas Bizmano. Okay. Now what does this mean? She Bezdin Yoshvu Vekavu Achas Achas Bizmano. One thing is clear, that they weren't Kovea 3 years consecutively. But what does that mean? They weren't Kovea 3 years consecutively. After all, it says that they visited Rabbi Akiva and he was Ma'abra the Shana 3 years consecutively. So one way of learning it, which is again Rashi's way, and the Rishonim are not going to be happy with Rashi, is that that the Chachamim are rejecting the story as it was transmitted by Rav Shimon. It's not true. What really happened is that the years were mifuzaros, meaning they weren't ritzufos, they weren't consecutive years, but Rabbi Akiva was ma'aber 3 years. Maybe year number one, year number three, year number six, you know, seven, eight, nine, right, 7 years within 19 years. So whatever it is, Rabbi Akiva was ma'aber shonim mifuzaros. Mifuzaros means interspersed, spread out. The other way of learning this Gemara, Bezdin Yoshvu V'Kavu Achas Achas Bizmana, is the following. That Rabbi Akiva was a great Chacham, he was the Baki, he was the expert on Ibur Shana, and the Chachamim realized that he's about to be taken out by the Romans to be killed. So they actually sent a Bezdin to sit with him, and they did what's called the Chishuv. Remember, we spoke about the Chishuv meaning all the calculations and considerations to determine whether or not we're justified in being Ma'abra the Shana. However, although Rabbi Akiva told them to be Ma'abra 3 years, it was all done in one Chishuv, but it wasn't that he was Ma'abra 3 consecutive years. Correct? He told them in one fell swoop which years will need Ibur. And those years were mefuzaros. They were spread out. So this is what we call the first explanation of Rashi, Dibra Maskil Bezdin. But if you take a look at Tosis, Dibra Maskil Velo Shalosh Shanim Zu Achar Zu, he rejects this Rashi. He says, Pirush Rashi interprets it, Ritzufa Shalo Yavo Nisan and Pesach Bemsa Kayitz Sas Kosher Mai Ira Shalosh Shanim. I feel, oh, just one second. The O, the Kamar of Shem, Meister, Rebbe Kiddusha, Ibra, Gimel, Shan, Retzufas, or Bezin Yashu, Bekova, Achas, Bizman, and Pishal, or Retzufas, are you? Ein HaLoshon Mashma Kein. So you see those words, Ein HaLoshon Mashma Kein. So Tosaf objects to Rashi because he says the Loshon is not Mashma Kein. Again, we have to see what exactly irritates Tosfos here about Rashi. So he says the following: "V'nirik kiloshen acher shapirish bekunches." Rashi offers a second loshon. The aim of Abim Gimel Shonim Hainu, the aim Kovim Bepam Achas, Leos Shol Shonim Uboros, Kol Achas Bizmano. So I have a summary here of Tosfos. I'm going to read to you the summary and see if we can figure out what bothers Tosfos and why he rejects Rashi and why and how he reinterprets the Gemara. First of all, what irritates Tosfos is the premise of Rashi that the problem of three consecutive years of Ibur is that it's going to push Pesach to the summer months. He says if that were the issue, then they also tam yesh lesa labra afil shnatayim. Tosfos says that even if you have 2 years of an Ibur, that's enough to push off Nisan into the summer months. That's number one. Okay, there's a whole discussion here about whether 2 years would be, you know, the Yad Ramah.
Even one.
So I'm just gonna, again, I want to get to Tosfos here, but if I'm mentioning the Yad Ramah, so he says that the Iber Shteishan Ritzufos Lo Yachdim Ha'aviv L'Nisan El B'Shana Shnia. In other words, somehow this is going to spill over into the fourth year. Okay, that needs a lot of work. But let me just try, Rav Mosai, to focus on Tosfos. So he says the following. Tosfos is further irritated by Rashi. The Lepirish Rashi Tzorach Lefarish Divri Chachamim LeRabbi Shimon. According to Rashi, that there's an absolute ironclad rule that we cannot be ma'aber 3 years beretzifus for whatever reason. Then what did the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Shimon about Rabbi Akiva? They said Shlo Iber Rabbi Akiva Shonim Retzufus Ella Mifuzaros, that Rabbi Akiva did not enact 3 consecutive years, but rather they were spread out. If that's what the Chachamim was saying to Rabbi Shimon, lo ein aloshon mashmakein. The language of the Chachamim is not indicative. It should have said lo ibru ritzufos elamifuzaros. The main word here is missing from the text. According to Rashi, the chiddush of the Chachamim with regard to Rabbi Akiva is that he was ma'aber mifuzaros. It shouldn't have said Bezdin Yashvu Vakavu Achas Achas Bizmano. What do you mean Achas Achas Bizmano? Does that mean it was Mefuzaros? I don't hear in the words of Kavu Achas Achas Bizmano the main point. The main point is that these years were dispersed, they weren't consecutive. Oh, so let's see now if we can figure out how Tosfos interprets this sugya. Ein ma'arim shalosh shanim zachar zeh. What it means is, Ein la'ayin be'ibur shalosh shanim ki echad, afal pishein kovim osan beretzifus. So we're talking about mefuzaros. And what does it mean, Ein la'ayin shalosh shanim zachar zeh, if they're mefuzaros? The answer is, we don't do the chishuv, which is, he calls it la'ayin, B'shalosh shanim ke'ech. We don't take a chunk of 3 years as a period of time, as a unit of time, and try to determine whether or not there's a need for ibur. So again, we're not talking about the actual ibur. The actual ibur would be b'fuzaros, would be each year unto itself without 3 consecutive years. That wasn't the issue of ein ma'avim shalosh shanim. The issue was that the kviyus should not be on a 3 year period of time, but a consecutive three years. Every year has its own factors and its own considerations, and a year is a unit of time within which we need a kviyus. Kviyus means to try to determine if there's a need, if there's a justification for ibur. So on that, Rabbi Shimon objects, and he tells the story of Rabbi Akiva. What happened was that when the Chachamim came to visit Rabbi Akiva in the jail, they looked at the ibur of a 3 year period of time. Again, it was going to be mefuzaros, but the iyun and the kvius was going to be for a 3 year period of time. Each year needs its own iyun. So how could Rabbi Akiva do such a thing? That was Rabbi Shimon's objection. With Tirtza Gemara, Shebezdin Yoshvu Li'achar Mikan Bechol Shana Bifnei Atzav V'Kovel Li'Abda V'Lo Somchal Osa Kviya Shekovel Yachin Rabbi Akiva El Mi'achar Shehoya Rabbi Akiva Chochem Godol Inu Gam Imo Mitchila. So again, there were two Iyunim. There were two Chishuvim. The real chishuv was on each year as it was done by the chachamim outside of the cell, back in the Bezdin. What they did with Rabbi Akiva was an iyun as a preliminary stage. They needed Rabbi Akiva to give them certain general guidelines with regard to a 3 year period of time. They didn't believe that he would survive more than a short period of time. So let's see if we can maximize Rabbi Akiva's iyun to give us the guidelines for the next 3 years. That's not a violation, Chacham say, of Ein Ma'abrim Shal Shanim Zachar Zeh. Why? Because the actual iyun was done again. They had the chachma, the wisdom, and the guidance of Rabbi Akiva in their back pocket. But on each year, individually, the chachamim would be ma'abr the shana, and that ibur shana was preceded by an iyun. So the real iyun that would be part of the process of ibur shana was done 1 year at a time. They clumped together the 3 year period of time only because they had this last opportunity to get Rabbi Akiva's input and his guidance on ibur shana, and they therefore maximized that by asking him about the 3 year period of time. But the actual iyun took place each year unto itself. That's the second pshat in Rashi, which is the interpretation that Tosfos accepts. Shakavada she'ein la chashevis ibur shana b'shana hakodemis la. So now we go back to the language of the Brisa. The Brisa says, Ein ma'avrim shaloshanim zeh achar zeh. And as we've discussed earlier, in Tosfos' frame reference, Ein ma'avrim could mean Ein machashvim. So we don't do the chishuv of 3 years as a unit of time, as an entity unto itself. Shakavana she'ein lachashev es ibur ashana b'shana kodemis la. Again, the same rule would apply to 2 years, because if you do a chishuv on a 2 year period of time, again, you are doing a chishuv from 1 year to the next year, to the upcoming year. Or, if you want to say it the other way around, for this year, you did the chishuv from last year for this year. And l'das Rabbi Shimon, mutal l'chashiv afilu shalosh shanim mirosh. According to Rabbi Shimon, you would be allowed to do a chishuv for ibur shana for 3 years, even before, way in advance. And Rabbi Shimon allowed it based on the story of Rabbi Akiva, because he understood that Rabbi Akiva was the real chishuv. And 3 years in advance, Rabbi Akiva did that chishuv. So we can preempt the ibur shana by 3 years. And it reminds me of our calendar. In our calendar, we have ibur shana for the next 1,000 years, right? So it means that Rabbi Shimon himself agrees that Ein Ma'abrim that the actual Ebrew would have to be in each year, but on the other hand, you could already do the first preliminary Ebrew before the first 3 years. All right, so this already gets into more of the nitty-gritty details. So, Rabbosai, where are we up to? We're up to Shvius. What do I mean by Shvius? There's a brisa here on the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and the issue is whether or not we can be Ma'aber Shana Shvius, the seventh year. Now, keep in mind that in the seventh year, they were pretty hard pressed for food. They had to rely on the food that they grew and all the farming that they implemented during the sixth year, because there was no farming during the seventh year. That was the year of Shemitah. So the question is, you know, in a year when there's so much of a limited volume of food available, it reminds us of the Shnas Re'avon that we spoke about. By adding an extra month, well, what you're saying is that the very limited supply that we have is going to have to wait until the Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan, which is now being delayed through Ebrew by a month. Hence, Shvius is not a good month for Ebrew Hashanah. Again, a lot of good things could happen during Shvius, but not Ebrew. Okay, so I'm not sure what you said. I just want to say that we'll end the shit now, and then we can continue this discussion. Okay, then? So everyone should have a great day. Yeah, Joseph, say it again.
That what we eat in Shvius is we eat Yavul Shishi anyways.
Correct, but
Yavul,
you know,
Shishi is already Hash.
But what we're speaking about is a limited amount of Yibul. So now, whatever we have... Oh, you're saying that there's always a Chadash.
What are you...
Yeah, so again, this is tomorrow's discussion, but since you're asking me today, I wanted to prepare the Yidin Shia, but since you're asking about tomorrow's Shia, so let me see what I can come up with here. He says the following.
Most of the time, the translation...
Just 1 second. Ema Arvus Hashana B'Shana Shvius Me'ach Hashem Arichin B'Kach Es Isra Avodus HaKark. Oh, I'm sorry. So forget about Chodesh. We'll get to Chodesh in the Yerushalmi. But what we're talking about, the Isra of Avodus HaKark. Right, so for 12 months, we're not allowed to work the land. Now, what you're doing is you're adding another month to the year. So now the year is made up of not 12 months, but 13 months. So for 13 months, we can't farm the land. And that's not a good thing. And then we can get to Motzei Shvius, which is the eighth year, and we'll see about the eighth year about Achilas. So what I told you about the Achilas Chadash, that's going to be relevant to the eighth year.
Pasuk that we said, "Ten la'am
bi'achleo."
That was on
the issue of
that was the of
Shlish, right? What was the name of the city there? It was called Baal Shlish. Am I right?
Right. Baal Shlish. That was
Shlish.
That was the raya that Eliyahu.
Then yeah, did this,
sorry,
he did not.
He did this after the Omer.
After the Omer,
because he's giving them much to eat.
Right.
Not just a pikuach nefesh issue, right?
Correct. It was only pikuach nefesh. Every kezayis would have to be evaluated as to whether or not it's a pikuach nefesh situation.
Right,
but
so
to tell them just fill up your bellies, you know, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. Right, so it's a question by Ovadyahu. In the time of Akav, when there was Ovadyahu fed the Nevi'im. Ovadyahu was in the palace of Akav. So in Nach it says that he fed the Nevi'im, the 100, and he fed them beribit.
What is beribit? A lot?
No, sorry. He borrowed money beribit to feed the.
Buy money and he didn't have the funds.
Correct.
So he had to pay extra money for loans.
Right. So Tosfos says that how could he?
Tosfos here in Sanhedrin?
No, Tosfos in Vodazara.
All right. So he says how could he violate these ribbons?
How could he violate? He says bequot nefesh, mitzvah. So what's the mitzvah? So the
Medrash. Just give me a second. Pikuach nefesh, Therefore, he was allowed to borrow money for this. And what did he do with that money?
There was a drought.
He would buy food
for the 100 Nevi'im
that he supported them.
Right?
And he violated these rivers because it was mamish pikuach nefesh. Then he adds the word of mitzvah.
Tosaf says, how could he do it? Pikuach nefesh u'mitzvah.
So again, I'll tell you what I would say about u'mitzvah, but go ahead.
Yeah, so rough. The Medrash says that he didn't feed them just pikuach nefesh, he fed them a lot. Like here. So Rav Chaim Moser says, how could you do that?
Right.
So he says that.
Because it's one halva, maybe.
What's one halva?
In other words, he had ribis on one halva.
Yeah.
So the Iser ribis is not
very good.
Not in any way increased by the fact that they're eating more.
Ribis on 10 cents or ribis on 10 million.
Correct. It's one Maisa Vera of ribis.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would say.
Uh-huh. So Masha Ain came here.
So wait a minute. So how does it come out with mitzvah? Then how do we...
Because once you have pikuach nefesh, you take off the deraisa, and ribu b'shirim on a midrabanan is mutter b'makom mitzvah.
Oh, wow.
Says Rav Chaim Moser.
Wow, this is really complicated. Yeah, okay.
But you're saying that there was one maisa ribis, but here that's...
Every achila is a separate avera. So you can't say pikuach nefesh is going to allow me to eat meat and meat, because every kezias is a separate maisa avera.
This is what I was asking.
So I need a matir on every achila.
But Elisha can't matir this whole tfua as mutter. He can't do that. It's an
iser. Iser is in the achila. And every achila needs a matir of pikuach nefesh.
It's an iser gav. Yeah.
If we're doing one action, then it could be that if that action is mutter, I can do it in the most perfect way. You know, like I said before, you know, he would be allowed to turn on the lights, you know, without using his left hand over his head. That's already the matir of pikuach nefesh. But to do a separate maisa, which is an avera unto itself, it'd be interesting. Let's say
Takana can't turn Kaddish into Yashin.
I don't think so.
It only matters the Gavra to eat it, B'shatzah.
Right, and every Achila needs a matir of pikuach nefesh. Exactly. But I'll tell you what would be interesting. The thought occurred to me. Let's say you had a Nazir who finds himself in a Beis HaKvaros.
Okay.
And now we have to get him out of the Beis HaKvaros. So the question is, if let's say it was a pikuach nefesh situation, would we say that during the 10 minutes that he needs that medical treatment in the Beis HaKvaros, that's where the physician is, we're going to allow him to remain in the Beis HaKvaros, but as soon as his medical condition improves,
we get
the heck out of here? Or can we say, well, once you're there, so you already, so to speak, violated the Iser of Nazir b'Beis HaKvaros, stay there until Mashiach comes? Or do we say that every single second that he remains there is a separate avera?
No, we know that there's a manazeh. If there's a mace in a hotel, you have to wake the kohanim up and get him out.
Right. So that's based on a Gemara in Makkos. The Gemara in Makkos says that there's a shear of kidei yitzia. How long will it take to get out of this? And we can give masra every, let's go 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes we'll give another asra, and he gets multiple sets of malchus. In other words, the Gemara is machadish that every moment that he remains within the Beis HaKvaros is a new maisa vera. So I would say that pikuach nefesh would be matir those first 5 minutes until his condition improves. But once the doctor gives him a, so to speak, a clean bill of health,
he's got to get
right out of it. Because again, the shehiyah, remaining in the Beis HaKvaros, is a separate avera of tumas nazir, and there's no pikuach nefesh now. You know, but on the other hand, again, what you know, the feather that's tickling my brain here is the fact that this is it's a very interesting kind of an avera, because it's an avera b'shevi altas, and the Gemara is a pellet. The Gemara says he gets malchus for every 5 minutes that he gets asura and he doesn't get out of there. Why is that a lav sheyesh bo mice? Meaning you can't get malchus without a mice out there.
He's just sitting there.
So the Shakasari has this major breakthrough that every that since he entered into the Beis HaKvaros, that original mice goes on and on.
The
Shevi Altasa, but it's considered a mice v'kumbase, and we can give him malchus as long as he decides that he wants to remain. So it's like mikach the original. So I would say that you might need a pikuach nefesh at every interval of 5 minutes, and if you know, if he gets a clean bill of health, he's going to have to scramble out of there, because otherwise there's no matter of pikuach nefesh. Now you're raising another possibility which I haven't thought about. Is there any case of pikuach nefesh where we can convert a chefzid isura to a chefzid etera? I can't think of any, but I'd love to, if I can come up with one, you know, that would be exciting, you know. Where pikuach nefesh, you know, has a new power, where it becomes a chefzid etera.
We have a tavshil that was made for a cholah, sheyesh bo sakana on Shabbos.
That's different, because then what we're saying is that it's not a maleches bishul, because the Torah is matir that bishul. But I want to know, if I have sitting in front of me on the table a cheftad isur, it's a cheftad isur, it's nevela, it's trefa, can pikuach nefesh convert it into cheftad etera? Like, for example, it's machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid, whether you make a bracha. Does a cholah make a bracha when he eats chazet treif? So yeah. I don't remember who holds what, but if I'm not mistaken, it's the last Rambam, I think, in Hilchos Brachos, okay. And the Ravid goes ballistic. The Rambam says that since he's pikuach nefesh and he has to eat it, therefore he should make a bracha. I mean, nenem and olam azibla bracha kiluma. So the Ravid says, how can you say such? He's eating chaza. How can you make a bracha on chaza? So I'm just wondering if the Rambam holds that that pikuach nefesh converts the chaza into chefzid etera, and remainly you can make a bracha on it. The Ravid says, name. It remains a chefzid isur, but there's no isur achila. You know, I guess what I'm telling you now is probably crazy. You know, so I wouldn't even waste time thinking about it. But I'm just wondering.
The animal that was shechted on Shabbos for cholah. Why isn't that a chefzid?
Because again, as long as the shechita was
mikara, it's not a
right. So, right, exactly. Because what we call maisa shabbos can create a chefzid isura, but only because of the meleches shabbos that violated the shabbos. So if there's pikuach nefesh, it was no avera. You know, the maisa shabbos means the product of an avera.
Right. You're saying something mikara. That's
it was never an avera.
That's awesome.
But I want to know: is there a situation in which poof, you can take a chefzid isura and convert it into chefzid etera? You must change the fiber, the spiritual fibers of the object. You make it into chefzid etera through pikuach nefesh.
You mean for everybody? That it would just be not for everybody. That we say, yeah.
So that's got to be wrong. That's got to be wrong. What about, let's see, in a case of a neder? Let's say a person takes a neder, and now he's a pikuach nefesh. So maybe now pikuach nefesh could create a chefzid etera. Why? Because, that's a little similar to that Rambam and the Ravid, because since he's a pikuach nefesh, so the neder is not machayev him, so memela, it's a chefzid etera. Yeah. I think by definition, the way I was trained is that a chefzid isur is non-reversible. You know, that's exactly what the definition of a chefzid isur is.
You mean something that was nolad as a chefzid?
Yeah. The only question is, there is such a thing called a matir. So what are we saying? Like, for example, hafrashas, or shchitas matir isur nevelo, isur what do you call it, eiver menachai. Or, for example, the case of Tevel, right? There's an Isa Tevel, and then you mafrish Maaseh. So that which was Tevel is a Machayev you Misa B'dei Shemayim, and now becomes Chefzid Etera, right? So there is such a concept of a Matir. So you see that a Chefzid the Isur is not irreversible. You know, if there's a Matir, you can... I mean, Chodosh, right? Chodosh becomes Yoshin, there's a Matir. Dovrish Yesh L'Matir. I think we once discussed our Sheish Matir. But Pikuach Nefesh, I don't see. Pikuach Nefesh is not something that's built in as a Matir.
It's not a Matir, right?
You know, built in Matir means the Torah set up an Issa with a Matir
for that Gavra, but not.
Right. So tomorrow, Bli Neder, we'll talk about Iber Shanan Shvius. So I'm trying to remind myself where we're up to, because I borrowed this Gemara, and I'm hesitating to make notes in the Gemara. You know, in the teaching. Is this?